Exodus 13 is where we're going to start this morning. Today is Sunday, April the 27th, 2025. Exodus 13 is where we're going to begin. This morning, we are going to consider why. Why do we take time and make time to read the Bible, listen to teachings, take classes, review things that we've already heard? And to answer that, we're going to first look at some verses in the Old Testament, and then we'll go over to the New Testament. So I think there's a lot of scriptures we could look at, but hopefully the ones we do look at will speak to our hearts this morning. Exodus 13:3. Moses said unto the people, "Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten." Don't forget this day that God brought you out. Remember it. If you go to the book of Numbers, which is after Leviticus, so Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, chapter 15. Numbers 15. This is a cool one here in Numbers 15. Towards the end of this chapter, go to Numbers 15, verse 38. As he did so often, God was telling Moses what to say to the children of Israel. "Speak," Numbers 18:38, "speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember." It'll be a reminder. A reminder of what? "And remember all the commandments of the Lord, and to do them. And that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God." What does it mean to be holy? You just walk around and look all pious, have your hands folded, say "God bless you" to everyone. This chair that we have set up every Sunday that Dan uses and Dave Bailey uses to sing, this chair is holy. Did you know that? It's a holy chair. That word holy means set apart, isn't it? It's set apart for a purpose, so we can have music. It's set apart. You know, in the church epistles, God refers to us as born again ones as holy, or sometimes it's translated sanctified, and we've looked at that before. It means set apart for a purpose. We belong to God. So God's telling them to remember his word and do it. Don't seek your own heart, but be holy unto your God. Verse 41, "I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." Well, I guess that pretty much made the point. And that's what the blue ribbon on the fringes was, something to help them to remember. And if you remember, then you don't forget, right? Next book, Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Everybody there? Deuteronomy 5, verse 15. "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm." therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. They were to remember how God delivered them from the lousy situation they were in. Bondage, slavery. Remember it. We're in Deuteronomy, so go to chapter 7 of Deuteronomy. Chapter 7, verse 18. Thou shalt not be afraid of them, these other peoples around there, but shall well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of when things come up. Instead of being afraid when things come up, remember what your God has done for you. That's pretty applicable to us, wouldn't it? To remember what God has done for us, to not freak out over things when something comes up, stop and remember, God did this for me, God did that for me. Has God lost any power? No. Does he still love me? Yes. Remember those things. Next chapter, Deuteronomy 8. So when we started looking at some of these, it was like right when they came out of Egypt. Now it's like 40 years later. Deuteronomy 8, 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. 40 years. Their clothes didn't wear out in 40 years. They had manna on the ground, food to eat for 40 years. So God's saying, remember what I did for you for 40 years. Verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. That's a great verse. Some Christians believe that the poorer you are, the closer you are to God, the more holy you are, the more... Well, here God says, don't forget that I'm the one that can give you power to get wealth. Some people try to get wealth on their own, and good luck. But God is still able to give you power to get wealth. Go to Jeremiah chapter 2. Like I said, there's a lot of places that you can look at where God told them to remember. Remember who their God was. Remember what God did for them. Remember what God had promised them. Lots of places. And yet, Jeremiah chapter 2. This is a hard verse to read. Jeremiah chapter 2. I'll wait till everybody gets there. We're going to a lot of places today, right? Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 32. Can a maid forget her ornaments? Or a bride her attire? Jeremiah 2, 32. Is that right?
Okay.
Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Could a bride forget that she's all decked out? Yet, my people have forgotten me days without number. How sad to read that. How did that happen? Well, back up to verse 13, a familiar verse to us. Verse 13, for my people again have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. They went and did their own thing. They turned to other gods, to idolatry. They forsook God, the fountain of living waters, and ended up forgetting the one true God that did so much for them. Forgetting him days without number. If you go to chapter 13 of Jeremiah. Chapter 13, verse 25. This is your lot. This is thy lot. Jeremiah 13, 25. This is thy lot. The portion of thy measures for me, saith the Lord, because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. And that's what idolatry is. It's falsehood. So this is where you are and why you are, because you forgot about me. You didn't trust me anymore. Look, go to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. There's lots more in the Old Testament, but let's consider some verses in the Gospels and the New Testament. And again, we're looking in the Scriptures. We're trying to allow the Scriptures to speak to us as to why do we take time to read the Bible on a regular basis, listen to teachings, take classes, and review things that we already know, things we've already heard. You know, Jesus Christ spoke a number of times about remembering. Do you remember when the disciples, the apostles, were concerned that they forgot to get bread? And Jesus went, "Don't you remember the loaves and fishes? Didn't happen that long ago, guys." And then he went, How many baskets of leftovers did we have? He's trying to get them to remember the great power of God. On another occasion, he said, "Remember the word that I said unto you." And in John chapter 16, verse 4, "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you." Do you remember last week we looked at the angel at the tomb that said, "He's not here, he is risen"? Remember how he spoke to you and told you about this stuff? Oh, and then it says, then they remembered. The angel was reminding them of something they had already heard, but it looks like they kind of forgot, because then it says, then they remembered. Go to Acts chapter 20. Paul is with some leadership from Ephesus. He spent quite a bit of time in Ephesus, didn't he? Acts chapter 20, we're going to go to verse 31. This is part of what he was sharing with them before he left, when he told them, "You're not going to see me anymore." And in verse 31, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Verse 35, "I have showed you all things." He didn't hold anything back. Taught it all to them. "I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it's more blessed to give than to receive." You know, Paul spent a lot of time, especially with those folks in Ephesus. Do you think he ever repeated something? Yeah. In Ephesians chapter 2, when we read this in Ephesians, it's kind of reminds us of something that we read in the Old Testament a few minutes ago. Ephesians chapter 2. Familiar verse. Ephesians 2:11, it says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time in the past you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." So God is saying, remember where you were before you got born again. Remember the deliverance. Remember that you didn't have any hope. You didn't have any God. You had nothing. Don't forget that. So what did he tell the children of Israel? Remember where I took you from when you were in bondage and slavery. Don't forget that. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we go to verse 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? So in this epistle to the believers there in Thessalonica, he said, hey, don't you remember when I was there with you in person? Remember I told you these things? So what he's doing is he is reminding them of something they had already heard. That must be important. There's one in Jude, I'll read it to you. Jude 1:17 says, but beloved, remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Jude 1:17. Remember. So we're seeing a lot about remembering and not forgetting things. A couple of weeks ago we did communion, right? And we saw in the Last Supper that Jesus Christ instituted a memorial. For what purpose? That we would remember two very, very important things. So it looks like from what we've been reading in the scriptures, God wants us to remember. Remember Him. Remember His Word. Remember what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. Remember what God has done for us. Why? Why do we need to remember? We'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Back up just a bit to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we'll see why it's so important to remember and not forget, to keep fresh in our minds, to review things that we already have heard. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled or deceived Eve through his subtlety, that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know, we saw in the Old Testament records how they went from forsaking the fountain of living waters and built their own broken cisterns. There is an adversary at work that would love to deceive people that know the truth. We're not immune. I thought about teaching some of this stuff when I was preparing the teaching for Resurrection Sunday. And what really hit me was the angel said, he's not here, he has risen. Don't you remember what he said? And it just got me thinking. And one of the verses that really blessed me concerning this topic is in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. This is a dandy. Hebrews chapter 2. Everybody there? Verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Wow. That's why. Because if we don't give earnest heed, if we don't review, if we don't keep them fresh, they will slip. Reverend Cummins' Working Translation has that verse, for this reason we ought to give far more attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. When the truth of God's Word drifts away, then you're drifting away too. You know, in the New Testament, we read and admire people who remained faithful. People like Paul, Peter, Timothy. And they're a great inspiration to us. Aquila and Priscilla. You know, it's inspiring to read about these people that just stayed faithful. But sadly, we also read about people who did not stay faithful. Go to 1 Timothy 4. Why did others not stay faithful? 1 Timothy 4, we get some insight. Remember that verse that we looked at earlier in Corinthians? I fear lest by any means as a serpent deceived Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted. Remember that verse? Well, look at 1 Timothy 4, 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. Well, let's stop there for a second. The word faith is from the Greek word pistis, believing. The definite article is there. So the right way of believing, and also the figure of speech metonymy is present. So what you have is they departed from that which was given to be the right way of believing, or that which was given as the foundation for the right way of believing. In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing or deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils. They start listening to that stuff. 2 Timothy 4 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." There's lots of verses that we could look at. Actually, we had a lot of time, we'd just read the parable of the sower, which is applicable in light of this context that we're looking at. But go to 2 Timothy now, chapter 1. How do you avoid this stuff? How do you keep from drifting away? How do you keep from not getting deceived? You know what it says in Ephesians? That you be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Yeah. Just because we're born again, we took a Bible class, we're not immune to all the BS that's out in the world. There's still an adversary. And here's what we do. 2 Timothy 1:13. And there's a number of places we could look at, but I thought this would be good. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith, in believing and love, which is in Christ Jesus. We hold it fast, or we hold it close. We don't let it slip away. And that takes a deliberate decision, and it takes time and effort to keep it there, to hold it fast. It's like it says in Corinthians, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And sometimes, you know, we hear things and we go, that's BS. No, no, that doesn't line up with God's word. Throw that away. Go to 2 Peter. We're gonna end up in 2 Peter. First in chapter 1. Was Peter a perfect man? No. No perfect people except Jesus Christ. We can see in the scriptures where Peter made some mistakes in the Gospels and also in the book of Acts. Remember, he got reproved by Paul. What are you doing? And yet Peter was faithful for his whole life. God doesn't look at our screw-ups. He looks at our faithfulness. Stay faithful. Stay the course. Hold it fast. Don't budge. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth." This is not to a neophyte, brand new believers. These are people established. These are people that I'm going to continue to remind you of things you already know. That's what I'm going to do. Verse 13, yeah, I think it meet, it right, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, as long as I live, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I'm going to stir you up by just continuing to remind you. Long as I live. And then verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. He got information that his life was about over. So he says, as long as I'm alive, I'm just going to keep reminding you and of all these great truths. Why? Verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance, so that when I'm gone, they're locked in and you've got them. What a great thing. We're going to close in chapter 3 of this epistle of 2 Peter. You want to go there, chapter 3. There's lots of other verses that we could read, but I really believe just the few verses that we've read this morning speaks to us and answers the question of why we do what we do. It's very important that we as born-again ones understand and believe what God has done for us and in us. That we understand and believe who God says we are, what God says we have, what God says that we can do. And the church epistles, along with the pastoral epistles, are so vital to review and re-review and re-re-review. I don't know if that's a word. So that these great truths don't slip away. And unless we make the time and take the time, they will slip away. I think we all know people who at one time were just really hot for God and His Word, and now it's like, oh, yeah. You can read it in the Scriptures. People in Corinth, did Paul spend any time in Corinth? Looked like he spent that one time a year and a half. And you read in 1 Corinthians, some of those believers were saying the resurrection's past already. There's no resurrection. How'd they miss that? We do that so it doesn't slip away. So we're going to chapter 3 here. I think you know that these epistles were intended to be encyclical, meaning they passed them around. There's that verse in Colossians that says, when this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. They were meant to be encyclical, and I bring this point up here in closing, the point of the importance of the church epistles. Because at the end of his life here in 2 Peter chapter 3, we read verse 15, 3:15, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, right? Peter is saying that Paul wrote this stuff by revelation. Let's read that again. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles. Peter is making note that that's important. All of his epistles. Speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. People that had a problem with what Paul wrote in his epistles had problems with other parts of the scriptures as well. That's what he's saying. Hard to be understood by those that wrestle, and they have problems with the other scriptures too. You therefore, verse 17, us, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, be smart, be sharp, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Beware. Verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. What a great way to end that second epistle shortly before he died. Get your head in those epistles, he's saying. So I hope the scriptures that we read this morning answer the question of why do we make time to read the Bible on a consistent basis, listen to teachings, take classes, and review and re-review things that we already know. It takes time and effort to do that. It won't happen on its own. And we do that so God's word doesn't slip away. That's how we hold it fast. Father, thank you for your wonderful word that gives us such clear direction. Thank you, Father, for pointing out to us, as you do, warnings and what to do about it. And Father, the simplicity is to just simply remember, don't let it slip away, and hold it fast. Thank you that we can continue to grow in our understanding, even of things we already know, that we can get even greater depth of understanding. Thanks for the privilege of sharing your wonderful word with your wonderful people this morning. And Father, may we have a great week ahead as we anticipate your son coming back. May we have a great week loving you and enjoying the life that you've given us to live. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. I'm sure there's probably a lot of other verses, and if you thought of some, well, we'll share it over refreshments. And we'll be back next Sunday, unless Christ returns. And he's coming back. That's what God said, so don't let that slip away. There's something there in Peter, I have to look it up, where he talks about people going, oh yeah, when's he coming back? Things just stay the same as they are. He is not coming back. That's where it says a day with God is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day. He's coming back. So God bless you.